that is one of the most emotional psalms in the entire book. Even the psalm is very short, short one. It is marked with three special marks called selach, or pauses. And I will explain a little bit the role of this. And I, when I'm reading this psalm, first image which is coming in my mind is the old King David crossing the Kedron Valley. Then he is climbing the Mountain of Olives, weeping and meditating on what is going on. But suddenly, David cries out the psalm number 3. Lord, he says, how many are my foes? How many raise up against me? Then a pause. First, selach, as in Hebrew said. First, selach. For a while, he stops, and I imagine that he continues to weep. He could not say more because he was weeping. Then, after a short pause, he continues, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from the holy mountains. Then again he stops. You see, very short, short periods, and he stops again because he continues to weep. Maybe. Then he continues with a loud voice, I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear. Though tens of thousands assail me from every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Then again he stops. The last phrase, followed by the third selach, or pause, leads to the idea that the King David was going through it. When he was going through that, he came to the conclusion that he cannot trust anyone more because he was fleeing from his own son. Only the Lord Almighty is the person whom he should trust from now on. From the Lord, he says, comes deliverance. And may your blessing be on your faithful people. In my mind, that comes in a different way a little bit. I am hearing King David saying that understanding clearly the situation, I see a lot of pain, but not despair at all. In the middle of trials he faces, he has peace in God. He may go and sleep heavenly, having heavenly peace. We need to understand, as I mentioned, that this psalm is very emotional. We need to understand the role of emotions. In the same time, we need to understand why so many emotions in this psalm. We need to learn the context. Learning the context of this psalm, which is might be found in the 2 Samuel chapters 13 to 17. The King David shares his pain, a pain gathered for numbers of years. And now he is putting it out into a song. Or better said, he shares his thoughts in front of the Lord, confessing before the King of Kings and trusting him alone. Why I'm saying that? As you may know, there are 74 Selah in the entire Bible. Then, if we may observe, Selah is a word frequently found in the book of Psalms. Two of them in the book of Habakkuk, and 71 of them are found in the book of Psalms. Most of the scholars agree that there is more than one meaning to this word. Some interpret Selah as meaning silence or pause. Others interpret it as meaning yend or louder strain or piano. The Septuagint uses for Selah the Greek word daplasma, which means division. But anyway, indifferent what kind of meaning we will take here, when we study the context where this pause is used, we can understand that there are a lot of emotions involved in that. And these breaks, this pause, are taken for controlling the emotions. Selah is used to transmit some of the deepest emotion, which are coming sometimes at very happy moments, or sometimes in the most difficult crisis. Continuing to meditate on this psalm, first thought which came across my mind was why this psalm is filled of emotions. What overwhelmed King David? What led him into such crisis? And we need to ask first, David. Did David knew what is going on in his life? Because sometimes we think that that was just a surprise for David. I think it's not. Of course, first of all, King David knew the motives. And main motive was he despised the word of the Lord. And that led him to many troubles. But in the same time, we may observe in this psalm that in the middle of crisis, King David takes right position, moving himself to sort out the problem. It's not he is overwhelmed by his past, by some wrongdoings he made, being disobedient to God. But in the same time, he takes a right position, standing near to God. Understanding that, we learn a few key lessons for ourselves about human emotions, which may cause a bad sleep, or not at all, or not sleep at all, or a sweet, heavenly sleep. All is created by our emotions. For that, first of all, the emotions are caused even by good works and thoughts. Or by wrongdoings and evil thoughts. All our emotions are created by good or wrong thoughts, good and wrong doings. Behind each psalm, there is a bunch of emotions, some good and some bad. King David wrote most of the psalms, and behind most of these psalms are good emotions and bad emotions. The emotions which glorify God, and he is satisfied in God, and emotions when he cries and pours his heart in front of God. You know, David was a man according to God's heart. He committed big sin that led him to suffer, and then he did pay the big price for his sins. You know, even God forgave him, he supported consequences. at one moment in his life when spiritually he was sleeping. King David despised God. And that led him to write several psalms, and Psalm number 3 is one of them. Now we need to think about us, about an application. As far we learn a great lesson about emotional life, we need to know that the emotions are caused by good works and good thoughts, by bad works and bad thoughts. We also learn that even in our days, living under grace of God, when we commit a sin, we will support the results. David is a great example of that. And observing many lives, I see that this is working in every life. First of all, we learn about this emotion, and secondly, we need to learn from these psalms and King David's life, disobedience and its consequences. David's example is bringing us this second lesson. The context of the few painful emotional psalms written by King David is the sin itself. The Psalm number 3, the Psalm 32, the Psalm 51, we already read it today, all of them are coming, and the context of these emotional songs spoken by David, the context is the sin. And especially here we see that David was disobedient, committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing her husband, Uriah Hittite. God did forgive King David, but the consequences of his sin followed him. Death of the first son of Bathsheba was first consequences. Second, Amnon's death, Tamar's shame, the betrayal of Ahithophel the Gilonite, the curse of Shimei, son of Gera, and on the top of all, Absalom raised up against him. All of this is the context of this situation, are the consequences of the sin David committed. You remember when Prophet Nathan came to visit him in the 12th chapter, second book of Samuel, he said, from now on, the problems and blood will follow your family. But of course, that means that he was forgiven. But you see, 1 Samuel chapter 15, 30, first we read, but David continued up to the mountain of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. What a tragedy. Imagine a king walking barefoot. All of this had a reason behind it. David, again, despised the word of God. He was not obedient. He didn't listen. But as I already mentioned, David knew the motive of all the suffering he has going through. Do we know why we suffer? Do we understand? That's the question for us to learn. Because David never complained. He complains in front of the Lord. He doesn't complain against people. But in the same time, the beauty of this psalm does not point to the hardship David was going through. But the beauty of the psalm is that David took a right position and a correct direction to sort the problem out. All of us are going through different difficulties, and not single times we are failed. We are failed many times, but most of the time we turn our back to the right source, David didn't. You see, in this situation, David cries to the Lord, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying already, God will not deliver him. He is in prison. He will be dead. Look how many wrongdoings he has done. But you, Lord, David says, you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountains. Then I lie down and sleep. That's a sweet heavenly sleep. I lie down and sleep. And he is sure saying, I awake again. Because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear. Thou tens of thousands assail me from every side. The third we learn from this position King David took, we learn about the solutions of all problems. David suggests to us that the solution of all problems must be found in God, not in people. And here are 5 points which shows us through this psalm how David solved this problem. First of all, the solution David sees, David do not looks for support from men, but complains to God all his enemies. First, David do not looks for support from men, but complains to God of his enemies. Verse 1 and 2. The King David do not search to take revenge against enemies. And I'll give in a moment an example. See a great example. He complains to God of his enemies. Shimei, for example, was going, as we read, going along hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him with dirt. Imagine the scene. Horrible. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should he, his dead dog, curse my lord the king? I can help you. I will shut his mouth down in a moment. But David turns to him and say, what does this have to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing, the Lord said to him, curse David. Who can ask, why do you do this? You see, David don't lie on people. He lie on God. He looks that God will give him deliverance. Secondly, David is searching for the solution, and he has confidence in God. Verse 3 to 6. David takes the blame because he knows that God is in control. He accepts the situation like a discipline for him, learning that God disciplines those whom loves and who trust in him. Notwithstanding bad circumstances, surrounded by enemies, he has confidence in God and wait when he will strike all of his enemies on the jaw. All of us are going through difficulties. I may tell you that hardships are not avoiding me as well. We all should bury our crosses. But the question we arise again reading this psalm is, Mihai, Ron, Steve, Mary, do you have confidence in God when you pass through trials? Or we are looking for someone else? Thirdly, David recollects the satisfaction he had in his goodness, in God's goodness. Verse 4 and 5. David looked at his past and saw that even he was not a perfect person, but God protected him from the lion, from the bear, from bad people. God took care of him and fed him into the desert. Now he shouts with joy, "I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain." How nice. "I lie down," he continues, "and sleep because the Lord sustains me." What a sweet heavenly sleep when you have confidence in God. If you have no confidence in God in such situation, you will never sleep. But it's interesting when we read the context, how many things were going on, and David say, "I lie down and sleep." Imagine, in all these troubles, he say, "I lie down and sleep." Why? "Because the Lord sustains me." Fourthly, King David triumphs over the fear. Verse 6, "and over his enemies whom he prays against. I will not fear," he says, "though tens of thousands assail me every side." And he cries again to the Lord, "Arise, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked." And here we have another application. Do we trust God? Defeating our fear, where the fear is controlling us, the emotions of fear are controlling us. May the Lord bless all of us to triumph over fear and Satan. Fifthly, King David gives glory to God and takes to himself the comfort of the divine blessing and salvation, which are sure to all people of God. There is a kind of assurance for all people of God. For those who trust the Lord, God will bless them. Most of the time, people are committing a big mistake here. When they are delivered, when they feel well, when the fear is gone, they take as they did that themselves, and wrapping in this way God's glory. We see here that David respects the exact what the Lord says in Psalm 50, verses 14 to 15. "Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." You know, when God delivers us from bad things, we need to give him all glory, because he deserves it, and he is the only one who deserves it. Coming to this point, I want to close with a story about a student from Uzbekistan named Dilfuza. We do face many hardship in our lives, and the difficulties are different, having different colors or dimensions. But one of the most difficult years when your relatives are turning back on you, especially the most difficult years when you are rejected by your parents or you are rejected by your children. As I started to prepare this sermon, a similar picture jumped into my eyes from the year 2000. I was teaching a course of missiology in the Bible school in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Among young people there, I met a 19-year-old girl when named Dilfuza. When her mom found that she became a Christian, She did beat Dilfuza so hardly, hurting her on the ear till the ear started to bleed. The girl escaped from her mother's hand and ran from home, flee from home. And temporarily, she stopped to live at the Bible seminary in Tashkent. When I look at her face, you can read, was a swallowed face, was just recently she ran from home. And you can read on her face that the words, I am rejected. I am not accepted. Those who gave me life rejected me. I comfort her from the word of God, then arrange for her a passport to travel, bought a ticket for her, and took her to Chisinau. Every summer, all the students will go back to their country to spend some time with their relatives. But Dilfuza was standing with us. You can see the sadness in her eyes. Even she was a Christian. Even she had good friends there. And she was happy and secure life. He had the security there. But you can read on her face the sadness. But after 3 years, she studied with us for 4 years. After 3 years, one day she was jumping and shouting like David, Lord, I call out to you, and you answered me from your holy mountains. She brought to me a letter and said, Brother Mihai, I'm going home. I'm going home. Read what my mom said. My dear sister, first, then my daughter, forgive me for my blindness. Forgive me for my blindness. I was so cruel to you. Please come back home. I accepted Jesus. Jesus appeared to me and he forgave my sins. Now please forgive me too. Now Dilfuza is a servant of the Lord. You see, the last question I want to raise in front of us is how to have heavenly peace when life is full of troubles. How to get it? Outside of the Lord, we will never have peace. We might be the richest people in the world, but never have peace. I met criminals who spent years in prison. And they had no peace. They were coming out, and in a few months, after a month, they will go back. We have a missionary right now who works among other prison people in Tajikistan. And he said, I started to visit jail since I was 8 years old. Then they were taking me out, and in 1 month, I will go back. But right now, he is a man of God, taking the good news to the drug-addicted people and taking care of them, teaching children how to do business with bees. He has bees and producing honey. You know, how we can have heavenly peace when the life is full of trouble? We need, first of all, to value properly suffering first. David find the answer. He was suffering because he was not correct. He was not right with God. Secondly, we need fully trust God. And that's all we need. Some people think that suffering has no meaning. They do not see in suffering the love and care of the one who created us. They don't see that this is a kind of loving discipline. The King David did. The King David asked Dilfuza, I mentioned already, did take suffering as the seed for the great fruit of repentance and glory with God in heaven. May God bless us to trust fully in him and have heavenly, sweet sleep and confidence in Him. Amen.
Thanks, Mihai. Well, we'll ask the musicians to come up. That'd be great.